I'm here on the job site with Dale, who's a framing contractor.
Hey, good morning.
Dale traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for all his business vehicles. We're here where he needs us most.
Yep, they sure are.
We make it easy for him to save on all his insurance needs, all in one place, with coverage that fits his business and bottom line. Oh, I shouldn't have looked down.
It's all right.
We're so far up here.
Look at me. Take a deep breath.
No, I'm good. So good.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. It feels good to Geico.
0141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard on a big weekend of Scottish Cup action. Philippe Clement has no problem with Willie Collum refereeing Rangers against Ayr tomorrow, and he accepts Dujon Sterling's failed red card appeal. Alistair Johnston's waiting on a scan on his head injury but will miss Celtic's trip to St Mirren on Sunday. And it all starts tonight with Morton against Motherwell before plenty of exciting ties across the weekend. Joining me tonight, Kenny Miller, and a man who watched the first ever Scottish Cup tie, Hugh Keevans.
They used to say that cup football was a break away from the tension of league football. You have got to be joking. Celtic are under all sorts of pressure at Paisley on Sunday. The league title is now in the balance. The League Cup's gone, courtesy of Kilmarnock. And now it's the Scottish Cup, won only last June against Inverness Cali Thistle. St Mirren, 5 goals for and none against in their last two games against Hibs and Dundee. And now Celtic minus Alistair Johnston. Who'd like to pick the back four, anyone? Hands up. But there is light relief this weekend. It's at Ibrox. Scott Brown, Aidan McGeady, and the referees, Willie Collum. What could possibly go wrong, Kenny?
Did you just call that light relief?
Yeah.
It's not everybody's idea of light relief, but when your disposition is as gloomy as this guy's, maybe that is your
who
idea.
Who did they boo first?
Of you, I would think, if we send you along. Kenny, we do love Scottish Cup weekend. Yeah. As Hugh says, I think maybe psychologically it's hard to separate it from the title race and everything else, but it's good when this competition comes around.
It is. You know, it's our best cup competition. You know, I think you always look towards that showpiece at the end of May, start of June sometimes, that you want to be playing in. That's an opportunity to win it, particularly when you're the Rangers or Celtic. It could be part of a double, it could be part of a treble, you know. So it's they're always special weekends. Again, you can't help take your eyes off what's went on through the week and what's gone on in the title race. But again, this will be, you know, I think we've, like, for a Rangers point of view, Philippe Clement, it's another game. You know, that's what it'll be. It's a chance, another cup competition that he's stated when he came in. He wants to win everything. So it'll be a little bit relief from the league, but absolute focus on making sure Rangers get through it. Celtic, like Hugh says, have got a really tough trip in form again. St Mirren, who are really kind of ended that kind of wee ropey run. They've put some fantastic results and performances together. I mean, seeing their game the other night, probably should have won more handsomely the other night. So it'll be a tough trip to Paisley on Sunday for Celtic.
Yeah, it's not the draw you would handpick if you were Brendan Rodgers at any time, never mind at a time when maybe some fans are feeling a little bit about the level of performances. I guess that's par for the course. Celtic and Rangers, or anybody who wants to win the cup, knows you need to go to some tough places along the way.
The irony is that if you cast your mind back to the last game before the winter break, Celtic at Paisley to play St Mirren. Matt O'Reilly, bang on form. Paolo Bernardo, bang on form. Celtic 2-up after 8 minutes. And they went into the winter break thinking, that's not so bad. They came out of the winter break, Ross County, rubbish. Aberdeen, rubbish. Hibs, rubbish. But got away with it because of a justified last-minute penalty, and have found a penalty taker as well. But they go back to Paisley, a different proposition altogether from the one who was at Paisley on the 2nd of January.
For Rangers, Kenny, again, on paper, where we know football isn't played, but it can give you an indicator, Championship team at home, it seems like a more gentle fixture. You wonder what that does in terms of Philippe Clement maybe utilising that squad. I mean, he's kind of done that anyway, but maybe even more so.
Yeah, listen, maybe. I don't think he'll underestimate her. I think he'll pick a team that he feels all is going to be more than capable. Like all managers say, they trust all their players. Anybody that's in their squad is good enough to play and should go and represent the club and win the game. And it will be straightforward for Rangers tomorrow. I think everything that surrounds it, the energy that they've got going on at the moment, the momentum, the belief. I thought they actually played pretty well as well on Tuesday against Aberdeen. So, yeah, you expect Rangers to get through comfortably tomorrow. Maybe see a few changes. I think when you see Scott Wright doing the press, sometimes you always think, right, OK, he might be playing. You know, so, yeah, there might be another few changes and a few players rested.
I don't worry. I think Fabio Silva did the press the other day and then was left out. Clubs love to do that. They love to keep you guessing. But great ties as well, Hugh. You look at tonight as an example. I don't know if it's some sort of Clyde One derby between George Bowie and I.
Yeah.
Might try and track him down. But
do you know, up until Wednesday, I thought, ooh, Morton, 12 unbeaten, Dougie Imrie, manager of the month, they are on fire. And then, out of the sky, dropped a 5-0 win for Motherwell over Ross County. So good were Motherwell, Derek Adams chucked it after the game. So I no longer think that Morton might do it. I'm beginning to think your lot might do it. How bad does that make you feel?
Very. It won't be a night for the faint-hearted in those temperatures, wind, rain. Thinking those Motherwell fans behind that goal at Capello, you know, the one without the roof.
Yeah, you're kind of feeling for them.
On a Friday night,
but
brave,
you know what?
Hardy souls.
It's a good game that could turn out to be a tough night for Motherwell. Like you say, Morton at the start of the season couldn't buy a win, you know, but then they've just hit this incredible run of form. They've climbed that league. Again, going away from home on a Friday night, like you say, with the conditions, it'll never be easy for Motherwell. But they're starting to find a little bit of form as well. Like Hugh says, wonderful win through the week that ended Derek Adams as the Ross County manager. So listen, I think it could be a good game we're in for tonight.
What a mix you've got. You want to do the bread and butter, preview the football games? Well, there are some brilliant Scottish Cup fixtures, so give us a call. We've even been talking blue cards. Who knew such a thing existed? You want to throw your tuppence worth in on that? Philippe Clement's been reacting to John Sterling's failed appeal and the decision to appoint Willie Collum as the referee at Ibrox tomorrow. I'm almost certain some of you have thoughts on those as well. And anything else that's out there, Neil Warnock's been speaking today. People tend to be interested in what he's got to say. So anything out there at all, you pick up that phone, please. 0141 951 1025. Jamie is a Celtic fan. He's going to kick things off. How do Celtic head into this weekend, Jamie?
I don't really know, to be honest with you. I've got feelings. I wasn't against Brendan Rodgers coming back to the club at all. What I've seen on Wednesday night and what I've seen in the past few weeks, I'm really getting disillusioned. And people are talking about body language. If you looked at Brendan Rodgers on Wednesday night, his face just told a story. Now, I can't believe how bad Celtic are playing at the moment. They're playing all right in bursts, and then the next minute they're away back. But I feel as if we're going back the way. We're not going forward. And I honestly cannot see Celtic going anywhere now, the way they're playing. And I just don't understand it, because the team that we've got, I wouldn't say they're a bad team. But what is happening at Celtic? Is it behind the board? Is it to do with the board? Is it to do with the recruitment? Because he shouldn't have opened his mouth prior to the window being open in January, telling Celtic supporters we need four new players in. Then it comes to the point where we sign one or two players when he's asking for four. And we end up, you know, we're not any further forward, we're going back away. And I believe we were wasted when Angie came along and they played full football. Okay, they lost a few goals in a few games, but we come on leaps and bounds with him. And I don't think this is an appointment now, depending on there's been a fallout somewhere. I can't prove that. It's only hearsay.
Jamie, the line's breaking up a wee bit. Let's try and get that cleared up. Hugh, I've got this theory that the transfer window is the equivalent of two defeats in terms of mood. Because it's, if you look at Celtic are not in crisis because they've got seven wins and one draw in their last eight games.
Uh-huh.
But there's something in that transfer window that Jamie meant. Their performances, obviously. I'm not trying to say they've been good. But it feels like the transfer window is like the equivalent of a couple of defeats stuck in there. That's why fans feel the way Jamie does.
First of all, Jamie, the man is perfectly entitled to say that he wants four players. He's the manager. Maybe he's sending a message upstairs to the board. But he's perfectly entitled to publicly state what he thinks he requires. I go back to the St Mirren game on January 2nd. On January 2nd, Jamie, I guarantee you felt really good about Celtic. They were just off the back of another win over Rangers, the second win against Rangers of the season, and all was well. They've come back out of the winter break. The transfer window has been awful, like the previous transfer window. For me, have Celtic gone backwards? What's gone wrong? Fans like yourself, Jamie, in turmoil at the moment. For me, two transfer windows, very, very bad business done. Not good enough for Celtic. And out of the winter break, they've come back and they've had three very poor performances. They got away with it against Ross County, didn't get away with it at Aberdeen. Out came the banner about the board on your head be it, and got away with it against Hibs in midweek. The only thing I would say to cut Celtic some slack, today it's Alistair Johnston. Prior to that, you've got Carter Vickers. You've got Hatate, who's barely played this season. They've had bad times with injuries. But right now, the league's in the balance, the Scottish Cup's in the balance, and the League Cup's gone.
See if we're going to analyse body language. I actually thought Jamie was going to head in another direction. After the game was about as animated as you see Brendan Rodgers. He was giving it the full Ronnie Dyler one. I think there was even a wee sweary word caught in his delight at having got over the line, almost like he felt like it was a big win.
And it's relief gone, yeah. You know, like I think there is no doubt that the pressure will be mounting. Listen, it always exists in Glasgow, right? There's always the pressure that it delivers success. But when you've had a 7-point lead and it's absolutely evaporated in the course of three football and playing months, if you think, since Philippe Clement came in, take that January out of it. It's gone. You know, it's in the balance, like Hugh says. So I think it was relief, because I think before the goal and before the end of the game celebrations, you could see real concern on Brendan's face that this could be more drop points off the back of a draw against Aberdeen. There's going to be another 2 points dropped. And now, not only, it might not be level, you might actually be trailing Rangers if Rangers won their game in hand. So I think that is a relief, and that's what when you're at Rangers and Celtic, that's what it's about. You know, you've got to deal with this in a way. Brendan's done it time and time again. Again, in his first spell, probably had a lot of, it's not easy, I want to state that, but had everything pretty much his own way over the course of that 26, 27 months in charge at Celtic. And now there is a real threat to the league title after it looked like, again, a lot of Rangers fans had written off, a lot of Celtic fans had acclaimed at the start of the season.
The fans are teetering on the brink. That big stand that they got at Easter Road on Wednesday, the singing and dancing at Time Up, amazing, all the players get involved. And as Kenny said, 100% relief. Now, had the penalty not come along, and the penalty was perfectly justified, had Ida not scored from that penalty and it was another 1-1 on top of the Aberdeen 1-1, we would be dealing with mayhem on this programme tonight.
Let's hear from Brendan Rodgers on Adam Ida. He thinks he can have a big impact at the club after his two penalties, a big impact during the title running.
What was really impressive was, in terms of his two penalties, the composure and authority that he showed, and it's not easy. He's only going to get better, I've said that. But he has to keep pushing himself because there's lots of players in the world that have talent, but you don't know their names because they're playing in parks somewhere all around different cities in the world. So he has a talent, but he has to keep ensuring that he works. And if he can do that, then he'll be a real asset for us between now and the end of the season.
I know it's easy to fall into that habit or trap. I think it just happens in Glasgow. Either everything's good or everything's terrible. Yeah. I wonder if with a calm head you look at Adam Ida's contribution, and some people would say it's only two penalties, but high pressure penalties, clearly. That's the way he'll have wanted to start life at Celtic, isn't it?
I go back to Louis Palmer missing two penalties, the original one and the retake, and it deflated everyone inside Celtic Park. And it did nothing for his reputation in the eyes of the Celtic fans. At least Adam Ida stepped up. First half, second half. First half sets the tone. Second one saves the night, saves the league going along. So there's no doubt that the start that he has had is fantastic. He's got to, this being the city that it is, he's got to take that into the game in Paisley and make sure that Celtic don't have a real mishap there.
Thank you to Jamie. Jamie wasn't too chipper heading into the weekend. Malcolm on the other line, how do you feel? It's been quite the week, just in a number of ways. How do you feel heading into the cup?
I've got a couple of points. Can I mark a quick question there? A quick point to Kenny.
Of course you can.
Before we start, it's just in the fact I watched the game in midweek against Rangers against Aberdeen, and commentary is meant to be a non-biased thing, and it's just unbelievable how one-sided this commentary is. And I didn't want to put that in a negative way and say then bad, because Kenny, you're a good guy and stuff like that. But honestly,
it was a pretty one-sided game, to be fair, Malcolm, wasn't it?
I know, but you can see, like a boy puts on a good challenge, and it's not commented upon. But if it's something to do with the other side of the town, it's unbelievable. It's world class. I don't think
world class was mentioned at any point in that game, Malcolm.
Can you do me a favour? Can you phone Sky Sports and take it up with them, Malcolm?
Okay, right, wrong channel, is it? But Kenny, you did say world class in quite a few.
Oh no, I'll tell you something. I bet I never.
Oh, but she did.
Oh well, listen, Malcolm.
Listen, we can easily settle it next week. You get the minute written down, and I'll look into it, Malcolm. I promise.
My point is, Celtic are at the worst point they've been in a long time for the last couple of years. We've been spoiled rotten, but I just like to see two wingers, either side, playing at the right side, so they go at the byline and cross the bar. A left-sided winger with a left foot, a right-sided winger. We are right food. That's why Kyogo's been nullified. He's just got knee supply. That's cutting back and square passing and back passing. It's just...
Who's the best? Boring. What's the best combination at the moment, Malcolm? Because everyone kept saying Celtic have loads of them, but who are the best two at the moment?
We've not got our best two. It's as simple as that. Mm. For me, I'd probably say Young's got to come back in and go straight into the team. Kuhn was an empty shirt, but I can understand he just came into the team, but... the cutting back and the slowing the play down. No, I'd rather probably say Young Rock over, to be quite honest. Somebody that can hit the byline and try and put the ball back and keep this fast pace, fast tempo. We're hemming people in, and then we've just got no end product.
Celtic don't have
the Hale Hibs game. I think we had two crosses into the ball, and one of them came for a corner.
Celtic don't have options at fullback and so on, as we've discussed. They're going to be forced into a few certain things, but in other areas, you wonder the substitutions, if anything, they really didn't work out the other night. Is that fair? So you actually wonder if, despite all the negativity, it ends up being the same starting 11, no?
They're all the same.
Apart from Alistair Johnson.
All the wingers they bring in, they're all the same. I would actually take up Malcolm's point about Rocco Vatta. Rocco Vatta is more direct than any of them. Whether he gets risked against St Mirren on Sunday, I very much doubt. But Kuhn is the same as Yang. Yang is the same as whoever. The characteristic, the dominant characteristic of Wednesday night's game at Easter Road was that they're unwilling to take on fullbacks. As I say, they've got more wingers than the rest of the league put together, but for some reason, maybe it's a confidence thing, maybe it's because the recent displays have been poor and they're feeling the heat, but they really have to be more adventurous. That, you know, that was the story of Wednesday night.
I think naturally you'd have to cut Nicholas Kuhn some sort of slack, given that he's just in the building. I know Yang actually got quite a lot of praise by all accounts for some of his sub-appearances over at the Asian Cup. Chances of coming back and going straight into the team maybe slim.
Why did they bring, Kuhn? Is that in response to the fact that they thought that Yang might not do
perhaps.
It? You know, that they're going round the circles.
But this was a debate that we had during the transfer window when Kuhn was getting signed. I've actually written six down. I'm probably missing.
No, there is. Well, Tilio and Johnson moved out.
Johnson's left as well. So, you're looking at them and it's like, you're still having this debate about the Celtic wingers. You know, it was way back in the summer where he says Jota has not been replaced. You know, and you've got Palma and you've got Kuhn and you've obviously got Yang. You've still got Forrest there that you never ever see Forrest, even though it's a player that's been tried and tested. And he is someone that can operate off that right hand side and has done well. Listen, he might not be at the top of his game, but that's because he's no playing. You know, he's no getting the minutes, he's no getting the game time. But I'll tell you, I don't think he'll be any worse than the ones that have been playing. You know, and he's got the track record to back up in terms of goals and trophies. So there's players there. There's just no, like Malcolm says, it might not be any great options at this moment in time.
It's a good debate, Malcolm. We'll have a look and see what the weekend throws up. 01419511025. Do you want to keep going with that, or you Rangers fans? Lots been said by Philippe Clement today. Happy enough that Willie Collum is taking charge of the game. Do you share that? What about Dujon Sterling's failed appeal? And of course, he will meet Scott Brown for the first time as well. Get your calls in and we'll speak to you next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Hear it, watch it. Search the YouTube stream now.
Hello, I'm here during the lunch rush with Janice, who owns her own food truck.
Best cheesesteaks in town.
Janice traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for her food truck business. We're here where she needs us most.
They sure are.
We make it so easy for her to save, with customised coverage that grows with her business. Sorry, I just get so emotional talking about saving folks money.
Not this onion I'm chopping?
It's just so beautiful. Oh yeah, no, it's the onion.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. It feels good to Geico.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Kenny Miller and Hugh Keevans are here. 01419511025 or Twitter at Clyde SSB. Get your thoughts in on whatever you fancy, really. Weekend's action. Reacting to what you're hearing from managers. We've got a game tonight. Morton and Motherwell kicks it all off in the Scottish Cup as well. So whatever you fancy, do get your thoughts into us if you can. What else have we got here from Brendan Rodgers? Whilst you get your thoughts in, he says his side need to keep winning games despite suffering a recent dip in performance level.
Quiet tonight, Brendan.
Very quiet.
We have to give our heart and soul to every game, to bring our A game back. But when you're maybe not quite at your best, to have that heart and mentality to keep going to the end and get the win is very important.
Short and sweet. I suppose only time will tell what the other night was, because the first Celtic fan thinks it was a worrying sign of what's to come. You have to at least just leave your mind slightly open to the possibility, even if you think it's remote, that it becomes some sort of spark. You know, you win when you don't deserve it, and it give everybody a lift. We can all speculate about that tonight. Only time tells you which one of those it is.
And the time will be 2 o'clock in Paisley on Sunday.
Yeah.
Because if you go back over the Ross County game, Alistair Johnson, it's a known goal. And get well soon, Alistair, but it's a known goal.
I don't think it officially is, to be fair.
In my world, it's an own goal.
The guy's got a sore face and you're taking his goal off him.
I just said, get well soon, Alistair. But it's an own goal. And the Celtic got progressively worse as the game went on. The irony for Celtic in the next two games, Joe Hart, having come in for a lot of criticism, saved Celtic at Pittodrie, in particular the attempt from Graham Shinney. That was 2-1 Aberdeen, and that was good night Vienna for Celtic. And then at Easter Road, he was, again, very sharp. The performance levels, you use the word dipped, collapsed, would be closer to the mark. And so at 2 o'clock on Sunday in Paisley, they've got to get a performance out of people. They're going to have to play minus Alistair Johnston. The back four will bear no resemblance to the one that would have started the season for Celtic. And if you have Ralston, Scales, Welsh and Burnaby, they will have to be first class, because St Mirren must be rubbing their hands in anticipation.
Paul's on the line. How are you, Paul?
I'm fine, mate. How are you?
All good. All good in here. What have you got for us tonight?
Well, I was just actually replying to Hugh and they said Celtic were teetering.
Mm-hmm.
Teetering on the verge of the... I don't know what he was meaning by that. But,
I said the fans were teetering.
No, you said Celtic were teetering. And you were saying it was the transfer window. Hugh, it was abysmal or whatever you said it was.
Uh-huh.
But I think Celtic are top of the league, mate. And see, come the end of the season, you imagine Celtic's transfer window, Celtic won the league. With that transfer window, you would say that was a fantastic transfer window, would you not?
You are giving me a hypothetical case here. I'm dealing with what's happening in the here and now. And your fellow Celtic supporters are in a state of apoplexy with the way the team's going. Ross County, very poor, the booing at the end of the game. Aberdeen, very poor. The Banner, critical of the board. Hibs, out of jail. Hibs ought to have won that game. All credit to Celtic for hanging on to the very end. But, Paul, you cannot kid yourself on that everything's fine. They're top of the league until Wednesday night when Rangers go top of the league after beating Ross County. And the performance levels have collapsed. So, Paul, self-delusion will get you nowhere.
Can I assure you, Hugh, but I was at a magic ball that you seem to have in front of you, but I don't know what you see actually, mate.
Yeah, yeah, but you've got one because you've just told me that I'll have to eat my words at the end of the season, so you've got the crystal ball.
Well, I don't know what I've said to you. I didn't say anything to you. I said if.
Well, if will get us nowhere. Yeah, if well, is just well, hypothesis.
Well, we need to wait till the end of the season, you.
No, we can't wait till the end of the season because this programme runs Monday to Friday and then it's on the Saturday and on a Sunday when there are games on the Sunday. So we can't wait until May. We have to run through the remainder of February, then March, April and May.
I said to you, calm down, I'm making the call. You said it was an abysmal transfer window for Celtic.
Two in a row.
And I've Celtic won the league, I would say that was a fantastic transfer window for Celtic.
Yeah.
Listen, I think to use your kind of analogy on this, going, it can be both.
Yeah,
you know,
it can
Celtic
be,
can absolutely win the league, but there is no way, again, Paul, your fellow Celtic fans can be pretty happy with the summer transfer business, and even at this moment in time, either for me, even in his half an hour against Aberdeen, I think he can bring something different to Celtic to any of the other strikers options that are there. And he's stepped up and got the two penalties on it. The last one under severe pressure to deliver, and he's went and done it. I think he will be a good signing. But I think Celtic's transfer business this season will be viewed as not the best, whether Celtic win the league or not.
Yeah, I mean, I wonder what O thinks. He's been away at the Asian Cup, but arrives back to find Adam Eda's in his spot. Yeah. In fact, he's maybe even in the number one spot at the moment. So there was a lot of negativity around that signing. It's very early days, two penalties and a sub appearance at Pittodrie, but I think there's at least a little bit of hope there.
You know, I don't actually think it's about the boy himself. I just think it's about the general transfer activity. And again, it's a lone player coming in. You know, they're like, well, we've got all this money in the bank and we need to do this. And again, Brendan saying he wants four players and it's just no kind of went that way. And by the way, another winger coming in to add to it at that point was probably eight at the time. So I don't think it's about Eda. You know, I think what he's shown and he's won in a bit games that he's played, he's bringing something different. He's a powerful player. He's got a bit of presence about him. He's got an eye for goal. He could have had the match ball the other night as well. He had a couple of chances where he could have kind of maybe got the hat-trick. So I think his impact so far has been pretty positive.
We're back to the transfer window. And I stand by every word I've said.
Last Friday night show.
The last two transfer windows for me have been very poor from Celtic's point of view. We're speculating on the back four to play St Mirren in the Cup on Sunday. Ralston, for sure. And Burnaby, for sure, the fullbacks. The central defenders will be Liam Scales and Stephen Welsh. No Navrotsky.
I mean, maybe Navrotsky, but you're probably right.
£7.5 million worth of players not there. Paul.
Oh, it'll be interesting because you would take Paul to a point. If Adam Eda scores 15 goals and helps Celtic win the league and Nicholas Kuhn sets them all up, you can call back and tell Hugh that you had a point. So we'll wait and see. Thank you to Paul. Let's hear from Philippe Clement. Let's switch focus to the other side of the city. He says he's happy. Well, Willie Collum's taking charge of the game at the weekend. He wants to put all that in the past. He says he wasn't part of any discussions leading to the club requesting that Willie Collum wasn't involved in their games going forward.
I'm happy, to be honest, because when there's one moment that I would think that the referee is not neutral, then I would directly quit my job. So I'm happy that we can leave the past behind us then.
Were you involved in the discussions?
No.
Would you have liked to have been involved in those discussions with others at the club ahead of that request being made?
That's something for in the club and we've talked about that.
Okay. So moving forwards, if a similar situation was to arise, would you expect to be consulted before anything was done?
That will happen in the future, yes. It was a clear handball, but I'm also not without faults. I make faults every day, probably. So I don't look at people, and if they make a mistake, that, yeah, that they are dead for life or something or whatever. No, this is a new game, new situation. So it's important to, and when we speak about history, not to live in the past. I think it's in life also really important not to live in the past.
Is that a stretch to say Philippe Clement is not too happy with how that situation played out at Rangers?
No, I think you're absolutely correct. And he wishes to be consulted the next time Rangers decide to go out on a limb and make what I thought was a ridiculous request that Willie Collum no longer do Rangers matches. The day that referees are disqualified from handling certain clubs is the day the game is a bogey. And Philippe Clement put it beautifully there when he said that if he believed the referee at any given match was not neutral, in other words, was biased against one of the clubs, then he, Philippe Clement, would quit his job. I thought he expressed himself very well there.
What do you think, Ian?
Willie Collum fills me with absolute dread, and I'm sure I'm not the only person on, not just Rangers supporters, anybody. I was on a wee while ago when with the old handball carry on and stuff like that, and I get told it's subjective, it's blah blah blah, but I'm not subject. I don't know what to think of it, Willie. I think he's the worst, one of the worst referees I have ever came across in my life. I mean, I'm not going to go back all over old ground and going, but some of the crazy decisions that he's made, it doesn't give himself time to think. He pulls out cards left and right, gives penalties that probably weren't penalties. A clear handball, or that doesn't matter, but everybody else seen it. He doesn't think it's a handball, and I don't know what he sees that other people that don't see. And when Willie Collum's in a game, Willie Collum can affect the outcome of a game. That is the frightening thing. And people can say, oh, if you play well and you score goals, and then the referee doesn't matter. It does matter. It matters a hell of a lot in a game. And I think Willie Collum is absolutely inept. He's a bomb scare. You never know what he's going to do. And I think he can be trusted to referee any game. I just wish he was nowhere near Rangers, to be honest. He fills me with absolute dread.
But I think the beauty of this, Ian, is you're more than allowed to say Willie Collum, or anybody else for that matter, is the worst referee you've ever seen, and they fill you with dread, and you worry that they're going to make a mistake, or you worry that they're going to alter a game, because that's perfectly natural. But I think the issue at hand here from Philippe Clement is it can't go the next step where a club requests that he doesn't take charge of that club's games. I mean, that's your own manager there saying that he's not really on board with it.
Yeah, well, I mean, the last time I was on you, and you probably won't remember, but I was asked about that, and I said that Rangers know, they knew at the time that was never going to be the case. They were never ever going to get somebody to turn around and say, well, Rangers are quite right, we'll not put them in charge of a Rangers game again.
So why bother doing it then?
But because what they were putting it out there, whether you think it's right or whether you think it's wrong, is that they don't trust what they call them.
But Philippe Clement thinks it's wrong. Is that not quite important?
No, it's not, because that's his opinion.
I think Philippe Clement's opinion is very important for the same reason that fans go on about. We need foreign referees. We need foreign managers here, because they're not afflicted by the West of Scotland and all that goes on there with regard to referees and why certain referees are definitely dodgy. Willie Collum, incidentally, being the man who famously gave Rangers a penalty at Celtic Park because he heard contact.
You scored it, did you not?
Listen, yeah. Bang on that day, I can tell you that.
But Philippe Clement represents a foreigner's point of view. He is not afflicted by the West of Scotland curse.
I'm not happy with the assumption that if you're born here, you can't be fair. But anyway, what did you make of Philippe Clement's response?
But it's correct. It's the response that needs to be given, because you're right, he doesn't seem particularly happy with how that kind of played out after the Old Firm game in relation to the request, and again, which was never ever going to be granted. You know, we discussed this on the show. How would that work? Is start of a season, every club's can say, right, I don't want that you referee. You get one
request.
You can veto one referee over the course of the season. It's just never going to play out. So, I think Philippe Clement, since he's came to Rangers, he carries himself properly. He speaks the truth. He speaks passionately. He'll always speak strong in terms of protection of his club. But you can see that situation was just never going to come to fruition. You know, it was wrong probably to do it in the first place. Again, quite right to seek answers to how that whole scenario did play out, but in relation to that request, no. And Willie Collum, right, listen, he can make mistakes, he can influence games in relation to good decisions or bad decisions, but so can every other referee as well. So listen, whether I'm the biggest fan of him or not is irrelevant. I think he's going to referee the Rangers game tomorrow. Again, we'll probably talk about that next week if there's mistakes made.
It's a sign of how powerful Philippe Clement has become in a short space of time, and he knows it inside Ibrox. Because he's saying to, in not so many words, the next time you think about doing something like that, come and speak to me first.
So Willie Collum gives Ayr a penalty tomorrow and let Scott Brown come on and take it. That'll go down all right. Will the phone lines be quiet on Monday? Thank you, Ian. Philippe Clement had some interesting stuff on Dujon Sterling's failed appeal. And you St Mirren fans, I'm pretty sure you're going to want to jump on this as well, because your appeal has been chucked out as well. So that suspension from the other night will stand. Call us right now whilst I tell you about this. Clyde One. Make me a winner. Just imagine you're Sean. You just pop in to see your mum Mary. You're round at Mary's house and you win £120,000 on Make Me a Winner. Well, you're there. He's going to pay off his mortgage. He's going to take his mum and sister on a cruise. You'd have to give your mum something if she was there when you got the call. And he says maybe buy himself some new teeth with the leftover money. Fair enough. We could make you the winner of £121,000 on Monday, but only if you're in the draw. Text yes to 61025. Texts are £2 plus your standard network rate. You can enter at clyde1.com for £2 or call 0330 880 4523, and the calls are charged at a standard rate. Over 18s only. All the rules for this network competition are online, and if you get the call after 3 p.m. on Monday, answer within five rings, say make me a winner straight away to win £121,000. Text yes to 61025.
0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
0141 951 1025 is the number you need, St Mirren fans. I told you just before the news, I like to give you good news if I can, but that failed appeal, James Bolton will miss the next two matches. Clearly we're hugely disappointed, seeking full clarification on the process that reached this decision, as I'm sure all clubs tend to do, but not too sure where that really goes in the end. But anyway, if you want to have your thoughts there, we were talking about Willie Collum, not for the first and certainly not the last time,
not
on this show.
Let's
hear a bit from Philippe Clement on a similar theme, because I know it's all been very heated this week, and we always think that decisions are disgraceful one way or spot on the other, and we're never really willing to reach a sort of middle ground. Well, Philippe Clement was a bit today, actually. Very measured today. He said on that incident that he thought it was a bit of a grey area. He's frustrated, obviously, that the suspension has been upheld, but says it is a decision they can accept.
This situation was not so clear. Otherwise, there was also not a VAR intervention to look at the images. So, okay, the decision is made and we need to accept it. There's no other choice in that. We've seen also other tackles in other games where it was a yellow card. But that's the thing about football. It's never black and white. There is a grey area. And it's a difficult job as a referee in that grey area to go watch side. So I think that's also one of the charms of football. I don't feel that sometimes when it goes against you, but it is. Because of that, there's always a lot of discussion. You guys can make a lot of articles about that. Supporters can make a lot of discussions about that. But clarity is really important, but there will be always be a grey part. And that was maybe the mistake that everybody had when VR was coming into the game, that the grey zone would disappear. That's not possible, because There are so many nuances in every action. So this was a grey zone, and it went against us, this decision, so we need to accept it.
Oh, this man is talking very much...
This man is too civilised for this country.
There is nuance, grey area in Glasgow, and I've obviously got tongue-in-cheek because it should be that. I kind of said it towards the end of last night's show. It's possible to admit sometimes that decisions can kind of go one way or the other without thinking it's there, or it's there depending, you know, how extreme you think it is.
Nuance leaves you with personal interpretation. And the referee's interpretation was that Dujon Sterling had to go and then had another look at it and stuck by his decision, which we have argued over for months. Why do they never stick by their own decision? So once again, Philippe Clement comes in with a foreign, more sophisticated attitude to life. He does not fully agree with the decision, but he does not fully condemn the decision because of nuance and interpretation.
Kenny, there's a couple of layers when it gets to appeal, isn't there? Because you've got, like, do you think it's the right decision at the time? And then the question becomes, do you think you'll win the appeal? Which is a little bit different, I guess. I know at the time you thought it was the wrong decision. Was it one? Was it wrong enough, if you like, that you thought... Were you surprised, ultimately, that the appeal was lost, I suppose, is what I'm asking?
I think the appeal should have been won. Am I surprised it was lost? No, I'm not. I just think that both of those decisions... I mean the Bolton one's just... is incredible. I mean, I can half see why Sterling would have been upheld. There was contact, there was foot-to-foot contact, even though effectively ends up standing on a toe.
Mm-hmm.
It's what the contact would have been. But the Bolton one
is
absolutely ridiculous for me. You know, I thought both of them were not red cards. When it goes to that appeal process, again, who knows what's going to happen. But I felt when... A big sign is, obviously, when the VAR referee is telling his mate on field, I think you need to have another look at that, he clearly feels that it was potentially the wrong call.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big sign for me. I thought both of them were wrong, but the Bolton one is just incredible how that's not been overturned.
St Mirren fans, what do you think? Kenny Miller's not happy on your behalf. Crawford is on the line. How's it going, Crawford?
I'm fine, thanks. Yourself, lad?
Not bad. What are you thinking tonight?
I just think it's all getting down to talk about referees constantly now. This is a title fight on. These things just they come and go throughout the whole season. That's ebbs and flows. You get it, you don't get it. And all the talk's all about referees around the football a lot of the time now. And then it's going to be a blue card coming in as well, apparently. So
I think Crawford makes a really good point about that, Hugh. I've always, like... I think you're meant to disagree with these things. That's what football's about. It's what shows like this are about. For me, it's always about the sort of the depth of the disagreement or the amount of emphasis that goes into it. And Crawford's right. I know blue cards seem a well down the line, and I'll play you some clips later on, but it's like the last thing you need something else to argue over, really. Yeah. I think that's my feeling on blue cards. Forget anything about rules or whatever. Just imagine this other layer of relentless analysis that you need to go into to analyse whether it should have been blue or red or yellow or whatever.
I take Crawford's point that, you know, we do now go on at inordinate length about referees. Where I would slightly disagree with Crawford is that it's indivisible from the title race, because if you're going to say that Rangers should have a this at Celtic Park and it influenced the result and referees are having a material influence in the outcome of games, then of course it's going to have an impact on the title race. So that will go on and on. But when I heard about the blue card, I thought, oh, come on. You know, we're celebrating the first 50 years, as we call it, of Radio Clyde. My next 50 years here will be spent going on about blue cards. I mean, either it's a yellow card defence or not. It's a red card defence or not. Why do you need a road in between? It's just going to add to the mayhem, cause further confusion. The 10 minutes in the sin bin, of course, the team that's 11 men against 10, they'll score at that point and then there'll be further murder. So I hope with every fibre of my being that people come to their senses and say, a blue card. What for?
It's a bit like VAR, Kenny, in the same mindset. Something Philippe Clement said there, or I'm paraphrasing, we're chasing a perfection that doesn't exist. And again, you got the logic. You say, well, could we introduce this VAR and it'll tidy up a couple of those offsides and it'll tidy up the real howlers and it's maybe not had that impact. This, because again, the thought is there. Well, there are some tackles that you think, oh, that's worse than a yellow, but it can't be a red. But you just can't try and fix every problem. There isn't a perfection there, because we'll find a problem with that.
Yep, and you're bang on. There is that grey area. There is that area between yellow and red where, but you know what? See if it's, it just becomes a yellow. You know, that's yeah. Ultimately, it's a yellow. You know, that there's no this. This sin bin thing is going to, I listened to Paul Merson talk about it, and it's, I think he's absolutely bang on. Like, it's a different game, how it affects a rugby game compared to, like, what's going to happen is teams are going to just, if they go to, right, okay, we're shutting up shop for 10 minutes.
It actually changes the game entirely.
And it kills the game. You know, it kills the game. So it's just a nonsense. Like, I'm like you, I hope, there's too many people trying to ruin and change something that's been actually really, really good, and is, by the way, really, really good. You don't need this blue card and sin bins.
Focus on the good bit then, Crawford. Finish this hour on a high. Give me a short, punchy statement on the title race to leave us with this hour.
Rangers for the league.
it was definitely short and punchy. Thank you to Crawford. It's that time already for us.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun. For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Only one listener victory this week so far. Gordon Dalziel and tiebreakers do not mix. He thought that only three Scotland players had scored a hat-trick ever last night. It was 33. It's quite a lot to be out by. If you want to play tonight, 01419511025. Lines close at 7.
Lines 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans and Kenny Miller are here. It's 01419511025. It's been a lively old start. We've heard from Brendan Rodgers. We've had some worried Celtic fans, some optimistic Celtic fans. We've spoken about Philippe Clement, Dujon Sterling and Willie Collum and blue cards. It is all happening, and we're not far away from kickoff at Capello either. 01419511025. Give us your thoughts and we'll speak after we play this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Okay, it is Beat the Pundit time. It's not been a brilliant week for the listeners, but finally we got one on the board last night thanks to another Gordon Dalziel howler on the tiebreaker. Were you listening? Did you hear him?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He just doesn't do tiebreakers well, does he?
Well, it must have been the story of seeing a ghost that put him off.
Oh, I know, honestly. I've got quite a lot of interesting feedback. Like, I didn't realise there must be quite a few ghost fans out there. Some people seem genuinely annoyed that I was sceptical. I'm sorry, I didn't know there was such a strong paranormal movement.
And then even gave us an excerpt from Ghostbusters.
Honestly, anyway, it should be more straightforward tonight, I'm hoping, with Brian, who's in Hurlford. How's it going, Brian?
How you doing, boys? You alright?
Yeah, good here. Have you ever played before?
Years ago.
How did it go? Have you forgotten?
No, none. The boys beat me. I can't remember who I was playing, but the boys beat me.
Must have been memorable. We'll toss the coin. Heads, it will be Hugh Keevans, and tails, it will be Kenny Miller. So let's see how we get on. Kenny's got a very good record. He doesn't like me mentioning it, but it is heads. Hugh's record is not quite as good, but I actually think you're having a good season.
Yeah, I don't understand it for a moment.
I think you're having a good season.
How can you go from rubbish to not too bad?
Yeah, I don't mind it at all. You've been impressing me. Right, what we'll do is give Hugh some greatest hits radio to listen to, just so that he can't hear what's going on. We've got 30 seconds we're going to put on the clock, Brian. I'll refresh your memory. I know it was a while ago, so you just answer as many as you can. And if you want to pass and move on to the next one, that is absolutely fine, okay?
No, well, that'll do fine, thanks.
Right, good man, 30 seconds on the clock and your time starts now. Which team are the lowest ranked side left in this year's Scottish Cup?
Linlithgow Rose.
Who was the last Scottish player to win Europe's Golden Boot?
Alan McCoist.
Which Hibs player gave away the penalty on Kyogo in the last minute on Wednesday?
Newland.
Name any SPFL team beginning with the letter K.
Come on, look.
Who do Airdrie face in this weekend's Scottish Cup?
Hearts.
Who are the last team out with the Old Firm to win the Scottish Cup?
Aberdeen.
Okay, let's bring back Hugh Keevans. Can you hear us?
I can.
What were you listening to?
I can make you feel good.
Oh, wow. Right, steady on. Let's go. 30 seconds on the clock. Your time starts now. Which team are the lowest ranked side left in this year's Scottish Cup?
Kelty Hart.
Who was the last Scottish player to win Europe's Golden Boot?
Oh, pass.
Which Hibs player gave away the penalty on Kyogo in the last minute on Wednesday?
Joe Newell.
Name any SPFL team beginning with the letter K.
Kelty.
Who did Airdrie face in this weekend's Scottish Cup?
Oh, Raith Rovers.
Who were the last team out with the Old Firm to win the Scottish Cup?
Inverness.
Jeez.
You've killed him. You've absolutely killed him. And he's buckled under the pressure of that phrase.
That was a very last season performance from you. Brian, what do you think?
I think I've done him.
Ooh, I hope we don't have a steward's inquiry on one of them. That's making me a bit nervous, I have to say. I felt for Brian because he got the Rose part right, but it's Bonnie Rigg Rose, not Linlithgow Rose, who are the lowest ranked side left. Nah, I don't know, because I've got a few question marks over your answers.
Right.
You did know Ali McCoist was the last Scottish player to win the Golden Boot, so you go 1-0 up. Okay, producer says he's got you. He's happy with your answer on Newell. I wasn't sure about the pronunciation of Newell. Producer says he's happy. Okay. I'll just throw him under the bus. So it becomes 2-0. You got that, sorry, Hugh, didn't you?
Yeah.
2-1. Name any team beginning with K, Kelty or Kilmarnock. You both got it. So still Hugh trails by 1. Airdrie face Hearts, which Brian got. So there we are. And the last team out with the Old Firm to win the Scottish Cup was St Johnstone.
Oh, Brian's he's telling me the right answers that he's got. Aye. He knows it.
Well done, Brian.
So there we are.
Thank you very much.
I can sleep well tonight, because even if there was a steward's inquiry over the way he said Newell, he's won it anyway.
How did he share it?
Was it kind of Newellen or something? But anyway, Brian, I won't grudge it. Well done to you. The sign ball is on its way. Judging by our standards, you can expect it sometime before 2030.
Listen, see how I've won the signed ball. Can I donate it to a charity of your choice?
Of course you can, Brian. Very kind of you.
Donate it to any charity of your choice.
Good man. Love that, Brian. Thank you very much.
Hey, boy. Thanks very much, boys.
Well done, Brian.
See you later, boys.
See you. There's a certain swagger about that as well. Don't even want the signed ball.
Nah, I'm just on that. Just on here for the victory.
Just don't embarrass you. Yeah. There we go. Thank you very much. To Brian, 01419511025. That is the number you need. You can tweet us if you want at Clyde SSB. Where are we in 20 minutes? It seems like an appropriate time to turn our attentions. Let's give a bit of love to the first cup tie of the weekend. Morton against Motherwell. Half 7 kickoff at Capello.
I mean, how appropriate it is that they arrive at this stage with Morton 12 games on the bounce, no losses. And Motherwell, after all the wailing and gnashing of teeth from you and Gordon DL, and I thought Cal Paul was going to have to be brought into the studio for the two of you. Motherwell all of a sudden produced this performance, and I know that Ross County are rubbish, but they did perform well at Celtic Park, and 5-0. You don't get too many 5-0s in the Premiership, and outstanding individual performances. Blair Spittle being at the front of the queue. So all of a sudden, both teams high as a kite, and very good crowd anticipated. You mentioned, Gordon, over 2,000 Motherwell fans have bought tickets for the game. Really looking forward to it. It should be outstanding.
It's a real, it's a bit of a cliche, but just, that feels like a cup tie, that down at Capello. Motherwell fans will know that it was an opponent they had to see off on the way to winning it the last time, which was quite a long time ago now, back in 1991. It is a fascinating one. I get where Hugh's coming from. Earlier in the week, I'm feeling really quite worried about it. You feel a bit less worried when you see a 5-0 win against Ross County, but not enough to make that worry disappear entirely, because Morton are flying, Kenny.
No, they are. I think when you look through the fixtures of the if this round, that would be one where you think one of your top flight teams could go. You know, I think Livingston would be another one of them at Partick, you know, when you're looking at championship teams against Premier League teams. So but Morton have just, I mean, they're in wonderful form. They'll be high on confidence. Again, likewise, so will Motherwell be. But when you're going away on the Friday night, you under the lights, it's a cup game, that definitely has the makings of a potential shock.
Yeah, Mullen, Strap, O'Connor, Baird, Blues, Muirhead, Crawford, Power, Oakley, French and Wilson, the starting 11 for Morton. As for Motherwell, I can't believe they've dropped him. Goal machine Halliday dropped to the bench.
Rested, I would say.
I must admit, I have to, having not played a lot of football and coming in and playing a lot of games quite quickly, I thought it might happen.
Capello was his scene of shame.
Well, I'm going to get back to that. But shows you that the squad depth now, because it's a return to the starting 11 for Lennon Miller. So no complaints, I don't think, from Motherwell fans there. Kelly, back like five or whatever, of O'Donnell, McGabby, Butcher, McGinn and Gent, Davor and Miller and Payton, and then Spittle and Vibear leading the line, as he's done excellently in the last few games. Kenny, talk about a player just finding his groove and maybe finding a manager that trusts him and a way of playing that suits him, and ably assisted quite often by Blair Spittle as well.
Yeah, he's having a wonderful season. Spittle, his goals the other night were outstanding. But yeah, you're right about Bear. I think when he was at St Johnstone, I spoke to quite a few people about him, and like, all the attributes are there in terms of obviously the physicality, the pace, the power. It was just kind of putting it all together. But sometimes, like you say, a run of games where a manager, by the way, he's maybe been thrust into the position as well with all the exits in the striking department that Motherwell had over January. But what he's done is he's absolutely grabbed that opportunity. He's in wonderful form, and he's looking like a player. You know, he looks like he'll be an absolute handful whoever goes up against him.
Did you play on the night that Halliday aimed a vile gesture at the Morton fans sent off? I mean, I can't believe there wasn't a year ban.
I'm sure. I think we did win 2-0 that night.
And so was
After, I think it was Barry McKay scored the second. Right. I think it was a fist in the air. You know, it was again. We'll go back. Another one of these ridiculous decisions.
he said when he was on the other night, he didn't even do the arm over the other arm.
No, it was just
he was in the centre circle.
And it's not as if he ran across them. He was walking back to the halfway line and got sent off. Incredible.
The good thing is he won't be listening, because he should be busy roundabout now getting ready for his seat on the bench. So. I'll admit for now he was hard done by, but I do like to wind him up about it. It was quite something. I think he'll be behaving himself tonight, sitting on his hands, leaving nothing to chance.
He was sitting there reflecting on the fact that they've left him out and put a footballer in.
He's getting brave because he knows he's not
right
listening.
Right in him.
I mean, he was telling us last week that he's pre-match always, I don't know if you remember this from his time at Rangers, he always has porridge before a game, even at night. So that means on a Friday night at 5:30, he was sitting with a bowl of porridge, just no,
starving.
Not for me. Though.
Absolutely starving as well.
Were you a porridge man?
No, not at all. I could have it, I didn't mind it, but I'm mixed minds. I would be a
depends.
Eggs, some kind of poached eggs, probably. Again, if it was a morning game and an early kickoff, I'd maybe no go for it.
So, what if it was a night like this?
I maybe had a bit of pasta, maybe. Okay. But again, I always liked having breakfast.
Imagine playing with him, tin of cold beans. A jar of mayonnaise and some crisps.
Goodness,
but my wife eats porridge all the time.
Like at night, like for dinner and stuff.
Because she's a Highlander, you know.
Well, is that what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, okay. They talk funny and they eat porridge.
We've just offended like half the country. My apologies for that. Let's bring in Scott, who's much closer to home. How's it going, Scott?
Not bad, thanks.
What's on your mind tonight?
It's just see the blue card that you talked about earlier on.
Yes.
What happens if a keeper gets it?
Good shout, Scott.
Look, it's one of the many quirks. I think the good thing about it is, well, say good thing, it seems to already be not getting kiboshed, but saying, right, hold on, hit pause, this is not going as fast as people think it is. I think there's also been a bit of a kind of pushback. I think the latest was IFAB saying that, you know, they won't give the details until the next. They're not due to meet until the 2nd of March anyway to even come up with the details to publish on it.
But Scott's highlighted one thing here, that somebody hasn't thought this through, because as Scott rightly says, what if it's a goalkeeper? So you take him off for 10 minutes, bring the other goalkeeper on, and then what?
Don't get me wrong. I think
well, you can't be bringing the other goalkeeper on, because that means you're not playing. I think it's nonsense. It is a nonsense.
I do think it's nonsense, but they will have thought it through to a point. You would have to. Sort of, maybe. I think they were due to publish the details today, and it was all about, like we said, 10 minutes in bins, dissent, cynical fouls. I don't think there was any absolute clarity on goalkeeping. It could be wrong, because like I say, the details were meant to be today, pushed back until March the 2nd when IFAB meet. And where do they meet?
Loch Lomond.
Loch Lomond.
Yeah.
Where Scott Brown nearly threw you in one day.
Exactly. So thank you, Paul Hartley, who prevented the tragedy from occurring.
Kenny, whether that is a good sign already, because do you know what's an interesting one, and I'll maybe throw this out to the callers. All opinions are usually out there. I've not seen anybody that thinks this is a good idea. Genuinely not seen a single person. And maybe I'm just looking in the wrong place. So if you like it, give me a call and put me right. I take it you're just, even aside from the goalkeeping quirk, Scott, you just don't think it's necessary.
It's too funny.
Say that again, sorry.
I think it'd just be too funny if I have to a goalkeeper.
If you say so. I'm not really looking for rules that bring about comedic episodes, though.
You think that somewhere there's a person who's trying to think up other ways to make the game this, that, and the other. Games will take longer than the Super Bowl at this rate. You know, we're having endless delays while they have a look at every goal that's scored. And, you know, the blue card is the absolute height of nonsense.
Is there anything, any part of you at all that thinks a solution needs to be found for those middle of the road ones, like we said, where a player's running through and he's like cynically chopped down, but it's just never enough to be a red, but you think, ah, you shouldn't be allowed to get away with a yellow on that.
Just a yellow.
Just leave it.
Just a yellow.
Still just
simple
happy
as that.
With
yeah,
that.
Absolutely. There's no, it's just how it would affect the game. Like, we're all, by the way, we already bemoan the quality of our game and talk it down so much. Mm-hmm. If you're now putting teams down a man and then he's going to be on in 10 minutes, that's the buses going to come in. You know, they're going to stop, they're going to, by the way, they're going to get through. And I think Paul, again, go back to Paul Merson. Oh, look, Tom's going to be coming on in 4 minutes and so-and-so's going to be coming on in the next 7 minutes. And like, it's just a farce, an absolute farce.
Maybe it's just because I'm conditioned by everything that we do on these phone. I just cannot be bothered with the analysis of it. You know, like how you might or might not manipulate it, or how referees probably should have that. But see, I think that one should have been a yellow. But
he let him say that to him, but he never let him say it to him.
He's gone blue there deliberately. You know, he's gone blue there to get him off for 10 minutes. But actually, really, that should have been yellow. That stuff just sounds.
It's not a cliche. It's true. We are going to put people off football.
So, Scott, you're willing for this just to see it happen to a goalkeeper? Is that what I'm to take from it?
Yes.
Well, you know what? The only solution,
so
right?
To this
so
completely.
Quickly, the only solution that there could be if a goalkeeper was to give it is the sub goalkeeper does go on.
I mean, it would be that.
Sorry, there's two. So no, but there's other, obviously a player could go on, like it would if there's no a goalkeeper sub, or the sub goalkeeper comes in, but then somebody else has to come off. So you're playing with so you're playing with a less man.
I've
you
got
know,
a better
it's
idea.
Crazy.
Got a much better idea.
Bennett.
No, the goalie is exempt. He can do what he likes. He can say, because we all know they're
so
the
he
maddest.
He can call the referees for anything.
He's the maddest player on the pitch. Usually, he can say what he likes
to whoever he likes.
Yeah, he's exempt.
Okay,
I don't know. Interest. I knew that someone would make this joke, and it so happens to be one of the more high-profile figures in Scottish football, which always helps. So these were Brendan Rodgers' thoughts on the blue card.
Well, as soon as I seen it, I thought, well, I work in Scotland, I'm sure they better have a green card as well as a blue one, or we might be in trouble. So there's just don't complicate it. Make a decision, whether it's a red, yellow or no card, and we don't need a blue card up here, that's for sure.
You don't need anything else to argue about.
Hey, no way.
See, not only is it the logistics of it, it's the colour of it that's going to be an issue here.
Make a decision, he says, and preferably the right one. That's would, a nice would help.
A nice soft joke from Brendan there, and clever. But, you know, football men like him are looking at this and thinking, what is going on?
Maybe I just, out of curiosity, morbid curiosity then, just to see if we can find one, is there anybody out there that thinks it's a good idea? I'm not including Scott, because he just wants some sort of sick laugh out of it. But anyone genuinely think there's merit in it, you know where we are. We're going to have kickoff at Capello, and more of your calls coming up next.
Clyde One, live
celebrating the first 50 years.
We are bringing back Clyde One Live, and tonight I can exclusively reveal it will also feature a 20-minute set of Hugh Keevan's doing Van Morrison covers if you buy your tickets. I'm not actually being serious. Don't pull me up for false advertising. There will be much more talented musicians than that on show, with no offence to Hugh. So please make sure you join us. It's as part of our 50th celebrations. We're taking over the Ovo Hydro on the 31st of May, Friday 31st. We want you to be there. We've got some huge names joining us, something this station's always done over the last 50 years, some memorable live gigs. We felt it was time to do it again. The full lineup, not including Hugh Keevan's, will be revealed very soon. And if you want to secure your place before they sell out, you can get the tickets at Clyde1.com.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Listen and watch. Check the Twitter feed at ClydeSSB. Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevan's and Kenny Miller are here. It's 0141 951 1025. We are 3 minutes away from the first of the Scottish Cup fifth round ties. Morton taking on Motherwell. Tell you what, we need to get that telly changed. You think I'm watching Sheffield Wednesday in Birmingham on a night when
I'm still thinking of my 20 minutes of Van Morrison covers.
What would you open with?
It's a Marvellous Night for a Moonlight.
Great choice. And finish with
GLORIA Gloria.
Would that be your encore?
That would be my barnstorming finish, because he did it in the Pavilion Theatre in Glasgow years ago, and he walked straight up and out of the theatre while the band was still playing GLORIA.
I can see you doing that at the Hydro. Anyway, the plans are still at the early stages, much like the blue card plans. We've not fully thought them through, but we're going to try our best. Right, keep the calls flowing in. I can see Tam. I'm going to get Tam's thoughts as soon as I give these two this question.
The full-time teaser with Universal Interiors East Kilbride, offering champion bespoke media units to put you right in the game.
Do you think if I say it again publicly and like shame them that one of the production staff will come through here and change this TV?
Sitting there with their feet up on the table drinking coffee.
Because the professional thing to do would be to like contact them privately and ask them. But I feel like if it's public, it really makes it more pressing, because it is 29 minutes past 7.
Just threaten them with dismissal. What's your problem?
I don't have that power, unfortunately. Thanks to David and the Gorbals for sending this question in. Straightforward-ish. Since 94, 11 non-Scottish managers have won the Scottish Cup. I think you two will destroy this question. Since 94, 11 non-Scottish managers have won the Scottish Cup.
Ange.
That's the cat.
Yep.
Gio.
Yep. Martin O'Neill.
Okay, we'll leave it there, because that's four with seven to go. So I'm pretty confident you are going to make good progress with that. Thanks to Universal Interiors East Kilbride for helping us out as well, and thanks to David in the Gorbals. I've just received a message on my little chat function from one of the producers who says, "I can come through if you want it on." How much clearer does this frustrated Motherwell man have to make it? Get in here and get that TV turned over. It kicked off 3 seconds ago. Let's hope we don't miss any early action. Tam's on the line. How are you doing, Tam?
I'm in good, yourselves?
Not bad. What's on your mind tonight?
I actually phoned in last night and I got through, but my phone got out of battery, so it did.
Oh, I remember that, actually. It was good to have you back anyway.
So apologies for that. My point is, the red card, I'll start with the red card on Tuesday night with Stirling.
Mm-hmm.
In my opinion, that's not a red card. Even in fast, yes, but have you seen the replay? He actually slipped when he got to him as well. So for me, I don't think that's a red card. It's not a 250 challenge. There's no studs shown. So yeah. I don't think that's a penalty for me, a red card for me, to be honest with you.
See the first sentence, so that's what's done him, isn't it? I'm not trying to make you agree. It's not about that, but you know, it's fast, yes. That's kind of what Don Robertson's gone on, isn't it? That's it. You know, you are offering that statement and then wanting to like kind of dismiss it, but Don Robertson's putting all the weight on that and saying, well, yeah, it was fast, it was too fast. And that's why it's a red. Can you see where he's coming from at all in that?
But there's no intent to.
We know that's not relevant, though, isn't it? We know that's not relevant, unfortunately. Maybe it was a simpler time when it was, but football, it's impossible, isn't it, Tam? Because We've got enough trouble proving excessive force or whatever. How do you prove intent? You meant that, no, never.
Yeah. We can't prove any of that. Like, there's no proof at all. So that's a word that should just be taken right out of the equation.
I agree intent with Tam. Is gone, isn't it? We know that.
It is
sure.
Gone. Yep. I agree with Tam. I didn't think it was a red card. Again, on the speed, we've talked a million times about it. Players need to run fast, which then means they're going to be going into tackles fast. See, if Dujan Sterling doesn't run that fast, then he doesn't get to the ball, or he doesn't get to have an opportunity to win the ball. The reason I didn't think...
Didn't get to the ball anyway.
Yeah,
Robertson,
well, exactly. Well, listen, if the two players run slow, it's going to be a poor game. That's what I'm saying. They need to run fast in football. The reason I didn't think it was a red card, and even some of the ones that I'm going to say... I still don't think the red cards. When you do the stills and you see a foot touching a player's shin or a thigh or whatever it is, this player is effectively stood on his foot. Mm-hmm. You know, so if the only thing that goes on against Dujon Sterling is how fast he's going into that tackle, I'll say it again, to try and get to the ball first, he needs to run fast, which then means when he slides, and Tam's right also, he did slip, he's going to be sliding fast. So... I didn't think it was a red.
If the referee gives it, Ben is asked to examine it and stands by his own decision. And that decision goes to appeal. And the decision of the appeal judges is that the red card should stand. When do you just say, right, okay?
Well, Philippe Clement has.
Today, aye. Yeah.
Exactly. But not everyone. Yeah, I take the point.
We don't need to do that, though.
Yeah, exactly. We can argue to we're blue in the face. What about that, Tam, then? The manager says, look, it's a grey area. There's nuance. And, it wasn't a dreadful mistake. And he can understand it. And he accepts it and all that stuff. Is he just a bit more understanding than you?
Well, he's been in the game longer than me. He knows the rules more than what I do as well. He's been coaching for how many years, do you know what I mean? So, I mean, I think I know why he's gave, even over to the VAR, right? I was at the game on Tuesday night, and the Union Bears started singing. I'm not going to repeat it on live on air, but I think that's why he's stuck to his choice.
Oh, come on, Tam. You think Don Robertson stuck with his decision to spite the Union Bears because they were singing You Know What, the SFA?
Yes, because I've not only said this, I was at the game myself, right? My nephew was at the other side, and even the people around me even said the exact same as me. He's not going to overrule that because of what they're saying.
So really, in a roundabout way, the Union Bears are to blame for this red card?
My opinion, yes.
This is why Philippe Clement is going home at night and saying to Mrs. Clement, guess what they said today? They said that the referee gave a decision because some people were singing a song. This is why people think that we are slightly loopy.
Listen, Philippe Clement can also afford to be this calm and can afford to be this kind of diplomatic over the course of it because his team won the game.
Yeah.
It never cost them. Had Aberdeen scored a last-minute equaliser and it's because Rangers are down to 10
so
men.
So you're saying that his opinion is based purely and simply on the result of the match?
No, and I never said that, Hugh. I say it helps the fact that the team stayed. But let me tell you, had Rangers dropped points, like, that could have been, it could have been a completely different...
But he's still going to be without Dujon Sterling, though. So it's not like, you know, it's now all bygones be bygones.
What do you mean?
So, like... It's not like he's free of any frustration about the after effects of the sending off.
Dujon Sterling's not playing anyway. You know,
he'd rather have him, though.
Yeah, of course you would. But, by the way, having Dujon Sterling available for a game or two is no the issue. Had Rangers dropped points, it might have been... By the way, I still think he would have been just as calm. He would have been just as collected. But his frustrations might have been a little bit more because had Rangers dropped points. They never dropped points. They won the game, they moved on, and that's all that Philippe
Clement cares about. He's too sophisticated for Scotland, that's my opinion.
Well, as Kenny says, there might be other times where he's not as understanding. Because this one's all about speed, how many times do we see them? There's no point in comparing all these different incidents. What was interesting, slightly, Kenny, I thought, was it was the first one that it's the full speed of the... It's the full speed clip that does them. How often do we hear it? Everybody says it. These tackles look terrible when you slow them down. Actually, this one was at its worst when it was full speed. Yep. Usually, it's the ones that are slowed down and you go, I bet any tackle looks bad when you slow it down. In a roundabout way, the slowed down version was the one that looked less severe. Yep. Does that make sense? Because it was all about the speed.
Yeah, and it's because of where the contact was as well.
Because that's so why they do slow, isn't it, for point of contact or whatever.
So when you see the point of contact, which is on the top of the boot, then you think, right, okay, that's probably not a red. It probably doesn't warrant a red, but it's, okay, we need to find another reason now. And the reason is, well, how fastly Dujon Sterling was running. So it is, again, it's, I suppose it's just what suits at the time. You know, if the point of contact's high, we can use that. You know, we can use that. But, by the way, it was also about like, the full speed version. By the way, it's not even about the mistake that the refs made in terms of giving that red, because you could understand, even the one the night after, you could understand why, because of speed and how can a... By the way, also how the player reacted that actually received it as well. You could understand why he maybe thought it was a red. It's more the fact that his mate who's watching it thinks it's not a red. That's where I think we expect, again, to go on Philippe Clement says, VAR to have cured all evil.
Would you rather,
and it's not
this
going
is
to be
a bit, it's a bit extreme, because then you're in the, then you are in re-refereeing the game territory. Would you rather do away with that then? Because we had a laugh and a joke about it earlier, but we do need to decide. We can't call for referees to have the courage of their convictions and stick to their original decision, but only when it suits us, because we all do it. I'm not accusing you of doing that. We literally all do it. Would you... Is there any, now it is re-refereeing the game, is there a case to say you let them decide then? Because then it would take that bit away. I feel like every time a ref goes to the monitor and sticks with his right decision, people criticise it despite calling for that to happen in theory.
The three that I remember this season, I think,
have all done it wrong.
I think they've all done it wrong when they've stuck by it.
So actually,
so it's not about, it's not about stick to your decision or be brave, mm-hmm. or by the way, admit that you're wrong and overturn it. It's about getting it right.
But again, But so the lesson in that then is that based on those three that you talk about, the VAR actually is more informed. So maybe it is better to just let them call it, because then that's tough, isn't it, to re-referee the game?
It absolutely is. I think, you know what? See, because it is so rare, I think when the VAR referee gives it, I think he even expects his mate,
well, of course,
who's the same training, who's been through the same kind of lessons that he's been told, I think he expects him to probably see it the way he sees it.
Yeah,
but this is where
do,
the
yeah.
subjective thing comes in, and we've discussed it off air, we've discussed it many a time, that Don Robertson clearly felt, no, speed, whatever it is, point of contacts, he felt it was right. I don't, but it's an opinion. Mm-hmm. That's all it is.
We've outlawed the notion of the referee believing mm-hmm. that he's taken the right decision. And that's what he did in the case of Sterling and in the case of Bolton. And you can shout and ball all you like. I'm very much afraid that supporters and singing songs have got nothing to do with this.
It's quite that. I'm genuinely, even by our sort of wacky standards, it's not a theory I had heard, and it's not one I had considered. But there we go. Mark is, he's an Aberdeen fan, but he's from this part of the world. What's this week been like for you, Mark?
Aye, it's been okay.
New manager in town?
New manager. I would personally have probably kept Barry on to the end of the season rather than changing managers all the time. But
would you? Because I hadn't heard too many people still in his camp. What makes you say that?
Just the fact that he's a young manager. We've changed two managers in the last couple of years. It's time to give him a kind of chance and see what was happening to the end of the season. But we've got the new manager in now, and we'll see what happens for there. But it was actually just to pull Kenny up, because he's gone on about the red card the other night that he doesn't think it was. But obviously, so it was a red card for serious foul play.
Yep.
That's what the referees gave.
Mm-hmm.
And Gordon, you've said quite a lot on the programme that three of the things for a red card for serious foul play is excessive force. So we're all saying that Sterling went in the speed of him. Reckless, tackles were reckless, he went in a bit reckless, and then he was endangering the safety, Jack McKenzie. Okay, he slipped, but he's still, by the fact that he slipped, then he is endangering the opponent by slipping, going at that speed. So how Kenny can say it wasn't a red card is actually beyond me.
But this is the thing, because we're a bit short on time for Kenny. We could have 3 months and Kenny wouldn't change his mind and wouldn't expect him to. those things are still all subjective, Mark. This is why everybody bangs their head on a brick wall, because you think it's endangering an opponent and some people might not, and you think it's excessive force and some people might not. The two most balanced takes I've heard have been referenced it last night. Don't know if you saw Bobby Madden writing the explainer on his social media where he said he would have gone for yellow, but he does think
it, I didn't see. I know, it was a big mistake.
I was about to finish the sentence. He personally, if forced, would have gone yellow, but thinks it ticks some boxes for red.
Yeah.
And as we've heard, Philippe Clement, grey area, and what was the other word?
Nuance.
So,
Gordon, would it not be classed as a frivolous appeal as well then?
That, do you know what? See, one thing that I think everybody should agree on, I think they really need to decide whether it should do away with that or not, because randomly they decide that a couple of frivolous appeals, was it Shinny last year,
correct,
and Porteous has been one.
Correct.
How subjective is that? You know, like, what's the point? We've got enough on our plate arguing about the decision itself without going, ah, but that's so bad that you shouldn't even appeal that one. So I think at the very least, Mark, we can allow Rangers their appeal, and it hasn't gone their way, so we'll leave it
and
there.
The fact as well is Kenny was trying to make out that Jack McKenzie played in a part in it as well, but his reaction, I think that was a bit out of order, Kenny.
Listen, Mark, you're actually saying for a player, he's not allowed to slip. By the way, Sterling never chose to slip. He slipped and he went into him and he was running fast and he caught him. I'm allowed to have an opinion that I didn't think that was a red. As an ex-player who has played hundreds of games, I don't think that was a red card. By the way, he slipped
hundreds of times.
Slipped hundreds of times at vital moments as well, by the way. The referee and VAR didn't think it was a red either, Mark. So I'm not the only one that doesn't think it was a red. I'm allowed to have that opinion. And by the way, I didn't think Bolton's was a red card either. So this is not just a Rangers thing either. It's like the referees, the VAR referees in those moments did not think that their friend on that pitch got the right call. Hence, he got told to go to the monitor. By the way, see if Don Robertson wants to do it. He can do that. That's his opinion. I thought it was a wrong opinion. You know, I thought it was wrong that the red card was upheld after watching what he had watched and what his mates had watched in the VAR studios. Simple as that.
12 gone, as Motherwell clear one off the line. They've had a bit of possession without it really coming to much. Corner for Morton, trying to force a bit of pressure, and it was headed away at the back post there. So Motherwell with defending on the agenda early on in this one. Thanks to Mark for his thoughts. Since 94, 11 non-Scottish managers have won the Scottish Cup. Advocat O'Neill, Van Bronckhorst, Postecoglou,
Ivan Golak.
Yep. Kenny
Lennon.
Yep.
Alan Stubbs.
Yes, we'll get the rest of the answers after these.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Hear it. Watch it. Search the YouTube stream now. Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
We're on the home stretch tonight. It's been a busy old show with Hugh Keevans and Kenny Miller. 17 gone at Capello, and it's Morton nil, Motherwell nil. It's fairly balanced, Kenny, would you say?
I've actually not been watching it too much.
Just too busy on the quiz.
Too busy listening to people pull me up. Yep. So yeah.
You've been getting it tight tonight. I like it.
Yeah. Love it.
It's been good fun. Right. So we'll keep you up to speed on anything that happens there. On the teaser tonight, it's 11 non-Scottish managers to win the cup since 94. The Scottish Cup. Ivan Golak, furthest back. Dick Advocat, Martin O'Neill, Neil Lennon, Alan Stubbs, Gio and Ange. Any more?
Tommy Wright.
Yep.
Now, Hearts beat Hibs 5-1 and we are racking our brains. Are we allowed to ask for the Hearts manager's initials?
I suppose P.S.
See, that's what I'm saying. It's Paulo Sosa.
Right, first name.
Paulo Sergio.
That's the one. Paulo Sergio. Okay, one. Two to get.
What are you laughing at?
But one of them's like, are you kidding me on? And then the other one's, okay, I understand why you don't have that.
All right, okay. Go on then, Hugh. What are you kidding me on?
I mean, very much in the realms of obvious guys that have won the Scottish Cup over the last however many years.
Yeah, 30 years, yeah.
No, I mean like recently as well. You don't need to worry about the 90s. Or even the 2010s for this.
Well, no,
the 2010s.
Oh, God, what we're talking about.
Well, apart from his nationality.
Getting excited.
Yeah.
You guys are about to go viral with this. It's another one.
Okay.
The producers will make the video of you two looking daft, and they'll have pictures of this guy floating around your head.
Well, you're not making it any easier.
He's not from far from here, but he's not Scottish, but not far. I mean, oh no, I'm worried for you two now.
Aye,
I know it's been a long Friday
night. Let's go back through them here.
Right, going backwards, you've got Ange.
Yeah.
Gio.
Yeah.
What's before that?
Oh.
Brendan. Oh my God. Unbelievable.
Brendan Rodgers, of course. Quadruple treble.
The guy's never lost a Scottish Cup tie yet. Anyway, we'll see what St Mirren can do at the weekend. Morton just hit the bar. So that's certainly the closest that we've come. There were.
Oh, I should have scored as well. Should have scored.
Offside appeals, but remember, no VAR at this level, so we'll wait and see. Right, Steve is on the line. How's it going, Steve?
I'm fine, thanks.
Good man. What's your point tonight?
First of all, I love your programme.
Thanks, Steve.
I listen to it every night, and I have a huge respect for Hugh. But I disagree with his view on the blue cards.
Are you in favour of it?
Yes, I am. I've watched many games where I've seen two dubious yellows, and I'm thinking, don't send the guy off. Just put him in the bin or whatever.
Now, put the blue card in the bin, Steve.
It may not work, but what I do in favour of is going for a trial, and I think the English FA, the FA Cup next year, are going to try it. So I would say try it. How many times have you been frustrated at people being sent off for stupid little yellow cards?
I don't think
just very quickly for accuracy, I don't think they're at the stage where it's going to be trialled in the FA Cup, but I think they're looking at trials at early stages of competitions and so on. I did ask, give me a fan of the blue cards. Steve has delivered.
Yeah, and he perfectly entitled his opinion. But I'd be very much against trialing the blue card in a major competition. There are only three major trophies in the country, and I'd be very much against if you're doing it in that competition. Okay. I just think that the length of time, Steve, that we are taking over red cards, the length of time that we're taking over yellow cards. We are, and I firmly believe this to be the case, and VAR has accelerated the problem. I firmly believe that we are going to put off people from going to football because it's too complicated, takes too long, and that they're kept in the dark while all this goes on around them.
Here's more of a professional or logistical point or whatever. For you, I think, Kenny, as the former pro, James says, if these sin bins for blue cards, if the players were in a sin bin for 10 minutes, they would cool down. Would that not cause more injuries? Are we going to get, you know, like the rugby have the... they don't anymore, actually, I don't think, but they used to have the exercise bikes, didn't they?
Yeah.
At the side.
Yeah.
Would that be...
I definitely think it's a valid point, I do. But I also think, I know it's just getting thrown out, I also think 10 minutes is too long. 10 minutes is a long chunk of a... of the game.
A ninth of the game.
To be missing, absolutely. To be missing. Like you're saying, oh, you're a bit frustrated about the yellow cards and getting sent off. I'm absolutely with that as well, Steve, to be honest with you. But I would rather just don't send them off.
Air on the other side of it.
Just don't send them off. Because at the moment, effectively, you are. See if it's within, after 80 minutes, then you are.
Mm-hmm.
You are sending them off for that last 10 minutes of the game. So I just think you're still going down to 10 men. I still think you would be having these debates at how much that blue card is going to have cost whatever team it affects.
See, the theories are incredible, because that understand from James, and I'm basing this purely on my really limited five-a-side knowledge or whatever, I feel like if you were to stop for 10 minutes, that would be an issue, you know. But the other way around, I'm sure I saw a tweet of someone saying you could manipulate it to let a player freshen up, you know, like let him freshen his legs. But
a good idea, yeah.
That wouldn't
be
work,
down
would
to
it?
10 men, yeah. Be down to 10 men for 10 minutes just to give a guy a bit of fresh legs. Just take him off.
But that wouldn't work at all, would it? Surely you don't want to stop, do you? At any point,
of course,
if you're a player.
Not at all. You know, and again, it just that absolutely does not apply, because you're putting your team down to 10. That's why you've got five subs now, by the way. See if you need get fresh legs on. Yeah. We've got our squad of 25 players now.
It's getting out of hand, isn't it?
We're creating a game now for argument addicts. You know, it's not enough to argue over a red and a yellow. Let's pick up a third card and make it even bigger argument.
Cynics would say incredibly rich coming from you, it has to be said. But anyway, 24 gone, Morton nil, Motherwell nil. Ah, see, if it hadn't been a half seven kickoff, I would have raced up there for the rest of it. Let's round off the teaser. You need one more. We've got 11 non-Scottish managers since 1994 to win the Scottish Cup.
Well, I sing Van Morrison again.
Cut us off in our prime. And I think we've probably lost the live stream. We're back old. Oh no, we're back. Right, and now I don't know when the show's going to end. That'll be good fun, yeah. You've got Golak, Advocaat, O'Neill, Lennon, Sergio Wright, Stubbs, Rogers, Van Bronckhorst and Postecoglou. I don't know, give you 20 seconds, I'll just guess. Give me one more name. It's another Hearts manager.
Against Gretna?
Yeah.
Come on, you.
So Paulo Sergio was the famous one against Hibs.
I wasn't there that day. I was in Wales watching West Ham lose the cup to Liverpool.
All right, Stephen Gerrard day.
Yeah, yeah.
Initials quickly.
V I.
Vladimir
Ivanauskas.
Was it Valdas Ivanauskas? Anyway, I've only got Ivanauskas written down, so that'll do.
It was called Vladimir, they just changed it to...
Oh, did they? Right, okay. Right, we'll leave it there. 0-0 in this game. We'll see how it finishes, and then a big day of cup action tomorrow from 2 o'clock. Make sure you join us and have a good night.